Christ is risen. Indeed. You know, when we watch the news and consider everything going on in the world, it's easy to conclude that the world is going to, well, you know where, in a handbasket. After all, the world in which we live is filled with terrorism and wars, famines and poverty, tortures and beheadings, genocide and persecutions, broken relationships, friendships and divorce, domestic abuse and violence, and creatures going extinct. Given this litany of ills, it's easy to conclude that as Christians, we don't often feel at home in this world, and perhaps, well, we shouldn't. After all, we're in the world, but not of the world, as John says. And then there's the issue of our daily lives. I wonder if many of us feel so busy running from one task to another that our lives often feel very ordinary and common, or that we find life tedious and mundane. We find ourselves running, experiencing life day in and day out, I think much as the character, the main character in the movie, The Groundhog Day, where the day of the groundhog is repeated over and over in a monotonous repetition. We might then become somewhat jaded and cynical. Interestingly enough, church fathers like St. Augustine and Luther lamented the tendency to ignore the commonness of everyday life, particularly to ignore the common miracles of everyday life. Luther wrote, "People are so accustomed to the works of God and creation that they are permeated with them as in an old house is with smoke. They use them and wallow around in them like a sow in an oat sack. Oh, they say, is it so marvelous that the sun shines, or that fire heats, that water contains fish, the hens lay eggs, that the earth yields grain, the cow bears calves? Why, this happens every day. You dear dolt Hans, must it be insignificant because it happens daily?" Unquote. Now, could any of this be the fault of the gospel, or at least in terms of how we portray the gospel? Or could it be the fault of our focus on the gospel? After all, isn't that what we're all about? The gospel, justification before God on account of Christ, reconciliation with God, eternal life. Yeah, well, we rightly do focus on what you might call the big things that God has done, the miracles in Jesus' ministry, and above all else, the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But these are not the only things that God has done and is doing. He's been continually at work within the world from the moment he first made it. We just don't notice it. But here's the thing. The gospel does not turn us away from the world by restoring us to God. To the contrary, by restoring us to the Creator, it restores us as creatures and thereby restores us to his creation. By turning us to God, it returns us to the world for which he made us. And so while some may stick their heads in the clouds looking for an ethereal spiritual realm beyond, behind, and above this world, as one of my colleagues put it, the gospel turns our eyes toward the earth. Consider the example of Luther again. Now, he's best known for extolling the work of Jesus Christ like few others before him in the history of the church. Less well known and less appreciated, however, is his exuberant sense of wonder for the daily miracles of the first article world. He not only extolled the benefits of Christ, but he extolled the first article creation over which Jesus is Lord. He writes, "Now, if I believe in God's Son and bear in mind that he made man, all creatures will appear 100 times more beautiful to me than before. Then I will properly appreciate the sun, the moon, the stars, trees, apples, pears, as I reflect that he is Lord over and center of all things." In other words, the gospel sheds new light upon the world for us. As it restores us to being creatures, it restores us to life within creation. Again, Luther in a table talk talked about how we are presently living in the dawn of the future life. Now, the dawn is a period of twilight. The sun hasn't risen above the horizon yet, but it still casts a soft glow of light on the entire world. And so Luther continues, we're beginning to acquire once again a knowledge of the creatures that we lost through Adam's fall. We can now look at the creatures much more correctly. We begin by the grace of God to recognize his majestic works and wonders, even within the little blossoms, when we reflect how mighty and good God is. Therefore, we praise him and glorify him and thank him. We recognize the might of his word in his creatures, how powerful it is. We're acquiring a correct view of the creatures. What does that mean? Well, I think what it means is, once again, we begin to see this world as God's creation. We begin to see animals and flowers and trees as God's creatures. And we see them, most importantly, as creatures of a good and gracious God. God ceases to be simply the terrorizing God of thunderstorms and rustling leaves within nature. He's the God who lavishes his goodness upon the world. And that means we can see God at work in the everyday things of life. Daily and richly, the Catechism says. He creates anew every day, daily and richly. These are daily miracles. Birds sing, that's God at work today. Trees bearing flowers, that's God at work today. And then, so in the midst of our experiences of pain or boredom, we confess in the first article of the Creed that there is an underlying reality to this world that is more fundamental than all the evil we see or the dreariness of life that we experience. This world remains God's world. And so for Luther, the gospel would illuminate the familiar and the common around our home and yard as the work of the gracious Creator. He focused on the kernel of grain in the field, the peach pit, the little flowers, the blooms. He delights in the small and delicate creatures as flowers and leaves. He notices this spider that scampers across the pond of water. Well, there's this well-known quote. If you closely examine a kernel of grain in the field, you would die of wonder. And then he adds, for God's works are not like our works. In other words, every day you and I encounter a creation that we did not make. We encounter creatures that we did not make, including you and me. On this very campus, we have an incredible variety of species of trees that were planted by our forefathers. Today, we have provided a map that highlights six different varieties. Feel free to pick one up on your way out and ponder the daily miracles of God in the blossoms and flowers that we often take for granted. Christ is risen. Amen.